Welcome to Entrepreneurship at Rowan, an official production of the award-winning Rowan Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We cover the entrepreneurial pulse of Rowan students, faculty, and alumni. Prepare to be Rowan proud.
Hello, Rowan University. My name is Aiden Tamazian, and I am thrilled to welcome you to the first episode of Season 4 of the Entrepreneurship at Rowan podcast. This is going to be quite a special season because all of our guests are members of the Rowan Entrepreneurship Advisory Council. These individuals provide invaluable guidance and support to Rowan's entrepreneurial community. They are seasoned professionals, industry leaders, and successful entrepreneurs who bring a wealth of knowledge and experience to the table. In this season, we will explore their insights, learn from their experiences, and understand how their contributions are shaping the future of entrepreneurship at Rowan. But before we introduce our first guest, here's a little bit more about me. I'm Aiden Tamazian, a sophomore here at Rowan, studying mechanical engineering with a minor in math. I also have the privilege of working in Studio 231, Rowan's award-winning makerspace, located in the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Beyond my academic pursuits, I'm the co-founder of Circles, an app that turns goal setting into a shared journey, uniting friends, family, and peers in a community of accountability and support. I'm also co-host of the Because We Can podcast and the senator for Rowan's chapter of the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. I would like to extend a huge thank you to Ms. Jessica Vatima, Assistant Director of the RCIE, for inviting me to host this season, and to Mr. Derek Jones, the Director of Rowan Radio. It is without a doubt a huge honor, and I'm very excited to get underway. So, without further ado, let me introduce our first guest, Ms. Diane Musio. Diane is a seasoned innovator and marketing expert with experience in a number of industries from food to academia to healthcare. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're super excited. So we're going to start off with a quick lightning round just to get loose and get into it a bit. So first question, what is your favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Why Friday?
Because it's the start of the weekend, and it's also a day that I like to plan for the weekend and kind of decompress from the week.
Okay, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that one, so good answer. Next up, what is your favorite vacation destination?
So I love the beach. So growing up, we went to Long Beach Island, New Jersey, and that continues to be a favorite destination for myself and my family.
Awesome. Awesome. This one's a little bit controversial. What's the proper name? Pork roll or Taylor ham?
So I'd have to go pork roll.
Okay. I mean, I have to agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Hopefully we didn't make too many people mad with that one. But finally, what was your first car?
It was a 1985 Dodge Aries. And a fun fact about that car, it's the basis for police cars. They were called K cars, and they were known for having bench seats. So in the front and the back, you could sit three people comfortably. So it was quite the interesting car. People used to call me a narc with my car, but it worked out well.
So now that we're a little bit warmed up, let's hop into the real meat of this interview. I think it's very important to start at the beginning. So what did you study in college and why did you decide to go into that field?
Sure. So I attended St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. And when I started college, I was an undecided business major. As part of the package to go to school, I'm one of five. I was the first in my family to go to college. So I had to take on a lot of debt, as I'm sure many of the listeners and current students have to go through. Part of my financial aid package was a work study job. So I was placed in the Department of Food Marketing. And it was a really great experience. And as I got into my first business classes, I figured out, one, I like food. I like to eat food. I like to go out to food. I don't cook very well, but it was very relatable. It was a very easy topic to relate to. And second, marketing really appealed to my personality. So I felt like food marketing, it's a great opportunity. I'm learning from it. So made that my major.
That's awesome. And I feel like that's a really niche field. You know, a lot of times when you think of marketing, you would think of like a large company, but food companies also obviously need a huge amount of marketing for their products as well. So that's really interesting that you got started in that so early. All right. So I did some research on your background and noticed that you started your career in management consulting, which it's not food marketing. So I'm curious, was there a reason for this? And if so, what made you to decide to eventually move into food with Wawa?
Sure. So like I mentioned, when I was working in school, the food marketing major, like you were mentioning earlier, the one benefit was there was only at the time, I think, six other universities in the United States that had that major. So it boasted a very high placement rate for students to get a job right after university, after you graduated. So The problem was is that the two types of jobs that were recruited were, one, was working as a entry-level sales representative for a major food manufacturer. So imagine stocking shelves at the Acme or the ShopRite, which I did for two summers. I worked for Campbell Soup and Nabisco, which is now Mondelez at the time. And then second was being in a management rotation program at a supermarket chain. So I knew I didn't really want to stock shelves. I knew I didn't want to manage a supermarket. And those, I really wanted to think about it, an opportunity for myself that had opportunity to travel, opportunity to build basic business skills, as well as just have variety. So I decided to say, oh, management consulting checks all those boxes. So I started at Accenture. I was one of only four students from my graduating class to get a job there. It was a very prestigious job to get, and it was wonderful. I got to travel overseas. I worked with the smartest, funnest people ever. I felt it was a really great opportunity. But after a couple of years, it was going down a path where, oh, I really liked marketing. And food was always in the background, but it was really about marketing. So how could I get my foot in the door? So one of my last clients at Accenture was actually in the food industry. It was actually M&M Mars. And then I was able to find, through networking, an opportunity to work at IRI, which is a market research company. So I said, oh, that's an interesting way to get into marketing. I'll do marketing research. Mm-hmm. Well, and then my client with that organization was M&M Mars. After about a year or so, I figured out data crunching was not my jam. So I decided, okay, maybe I should like think about what other kinds of skills could I build? And I went back to graduate school. I said, okay, you know, I'm just going to kind of take a step back. I'll go back for my master's degree, see where it takes me. And it led me to Wawa, which is great. So then I was able to get a true food marketing opportunity.
That's awesome. That sounds like an incredible experience. And before we dive into your time with Wawa, would you mind going a little bit more in depth into what exactly you did with Accenture? What did that role look like?
Sure. So my job title at Accenture was business process analyst. And then I think I was promoted to consultant. I forget the titles of what the, how that progressed. But basically what I did is I went into management consulting. Usually how the companies are structured are they're aligned to different sectors or industries. So for example, in the Philadelphia market where my office was based, had a lot of projects that were healthcare related or pharmaceutical-based, depending on what companies are in the area. So a small team from a partner to a manager to an analyst would be a small project team at the client site. So you would be working both at the office of Accenture and then half of your time being on the client site.
Okay.
So several of my roles were local. So, for example, I worked for a major telecommunications company based in Philadelphia. I'm sure you can figure out which company that was. I was there for a year. So I was technically in the city, so I didn't have to travel. But then there was a big push at the time for putting people overseas. So I was working for a major hospitality chain over in Europe for 6 months, which was great. So I was with a couple of my colleagues from America doing like an international rotation. So what we did on those projects were process mapping. So it was very technology focused, but for example, if there was a system that the client needed to improve or they had some really serious business process issues, the management consulting team would come in, come up with recommendations, test the systems, et cetera. So the jobs that I was doing were very technical focused, and that's what started to make me think, oh, I really want to get more into the business angle of my career and thinking about more about marketing.
And so then how different was your role with Wawa compared to that first role?
Sure, it was very different. I would say that it offered, so what I did at Wawa was very much category management. So for example, I was the manager of various categories, if you think about the Wawa store. So I was on their food service business. So the way it was split out is that you have your consumer packaged goods and then you have your food service. So anything that's prepared in the deli area or things that were on those, the two-tier warmers, is what they're called at the cashier. So I managed the breakfast, the bakery, and the hot snacks categories. So I would be helping coming up with like new product ideas, vendor management. So, you know, all the different ingredients that go into all the different products, coming up with the advertising campaigns, working with our agency partners. So vastly different from mapping out business problems in a technology standpoint. Yeah. But I felt like it was much more aligned to, again, like I said, I feel like I have a very high energy personality and like marketing is just really fun. And I think, again, food is really fun because it's approachable. Everyone gets food. So it was very enjoyable time there.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. And it's amazing to think, you know, you probably shaped the design and the feel of products that all of us have, you know, consumed or at least seen at some point. That's crazy to even think about.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny you mentioned that. So I have two children right now. My boys are very big eaters and we are frequent shoppers of Wawa now. And I always tell them the story about how in the bakery case, one of the key things, I guess, changes I made was making shaped donuts. Like it sounds not like rocket science, but at the time, like, hey, there's these seasonal products we have. Why don't we make them different and interesting? And they still have like the Christmas tree for Christmas time and the rainbow sprinkles, like just little things like that.
Right.
And again, my time at Wawa was quite some time ago, but it's great to see that some of the innovations, simple innovations, are still there to make a product memorable.
That's amazing. So after working for Wawa for several years, you started what looks like another career path by becoming an adjunct professor teaching at a number of universities. What made you decide to make that shift in your career?
So like I mentioned earlier, when I started at St. Joe's, I had that work study program, right? So I had 4 years working in the Department of Food Marketing. I got to see firsthand and build relationships with professors outside of the classroom. And even though my job, you know, it was very tactical in nature, not getting coffee, but, you know, making photocopies, helping organize events, all those good things for students. I really got to see firsthand what a difference professors can make, both from, you know, doing the research outside the university, but also the impact with students. And while I was there, I built strong relationships with most of the professors, but two really stood out, Mr. Leahy and Mr. Kennedy. Both of them were adjunct professors. They were both seasoned marketing sales professionals. They were just awesome. Like, I could just tell that students resonated with them because, well, not only were they really gregarious and they truly cared about the students, but they brought so many great examples from their experiences. As I thought about, you know, when I was at Wawa, and I should mention too, when I went to graduate school, I knew that getting a master's degree would give me that credential I needed if I wanted to do some sort of side hustle as an adjunct professor. Through networking, I reached back out to one of the professors I worked for in the department, and I said, you know, I've been giving thought, I really want to try this adjunct professorship out. She said, sure, shadow a class. So I shadowed a class and then I got my first role. And then since then I had jumped to various other universities. So it was really through networking and just keeping up those connections to start that side hustle.
From a personal experience, my mom is a professor at Camden County College. So I know firsthand how much time and effort goes into teaching, especially at a collegiate level. What was it like trying to balance being an adjunct professor as well as a professional in your regular career, I should say?
Yes, no, that's a great question. And that's great that your mom does that. So when I had the opportunity to start my side hustle, I was 30 years old, I was single, and it was a great opportunity for me to like build my skill set. And it was easy to juggle because I didn't have responsibilities, right? Fast forward, you know, I switched careers. I got my first teaching job when I was at Wawa, and then I switched over to Campbell Soup Company, additional responsibilities with my job. And oh, by the way, my boyfriend became my fiance, became my husband, still able to juggle it all, and then children came, right? So I had to take some pauses when I was pregnant, when I had my small children, but it is a lot. And it's funny because I've always been able to carve out time. I think I was lucky that I started that type of work while I was single and had no responsibility, so I could understand the level of effort and time is required to prepare for it. And candidly, some of the classes I taught multiple years in a row, so it wasn't that I was starting from scratch.
Right.
Not that I was reusing all the same materials, but at least I had some sort of momentum to know, okay,
something to go off of.
Like I know I'm going to talk about this topic this week. I can get a guest speaker. And that was the other thing that I really enjoyed. I think my students enjoyed this, was I always had guest speakers come in. I try to do field trips. And again, a lot of the classes I should mention too that I have taught are management concepts, marketing concepts. So like very easy classes to do a field trip on. So for example, 1 year I taught food service marketing, and I thought it'd be really fun for students to understand how Aramark works. So at the time, actually I wasn't working at Aramark at the time, but through my network, I knew someone who worked there. I said, hey, can we give them a tour of like the stadium or the convention center? Then of course the convention center was easier than the stadium. I forget the timing. I think it was in the spring and the Phillies, you know, were using the stadiums. But the point is that students got to see firsthand, like, wow, that small kitchen gets to, you know, service all of these different events. Yeah. And it was really interesting to see the students, like, their eyes light up to understand the concepts we're talking about in class, bringing it to life. But again, back to the level of effort work, like, luckily I was able to, you know, navigate a lot of different things to make my classes interesting. But it is a lot of work. And I've had, over the course of my career at different organizations, senior level executives are like, wow, that's so impressive, Diane, you've been able to teach. I want to do that. It's like, well, do you know how much work is required? And I start going all of it. And oh, by the way, really, like, the university is pay, you know, it's not very high pay. It's just, it's a really a volunteering, you know, exercise. And people are like, oh, wow, it is a lot of work. But it's been a good balance. I will say that now that my children are at a school age, I haven't been teaching because I know that I wanted to focus my priorities on them with all of their, I've been their coach for basketball. I've been their cheering fans on the sidelines. But yes, yeah, it's very rewarding, but it is very time consuming.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that actually ties in perfectly to my next question. As you built experiences in teaching undergrads, what benefit did you see for the organizations you work for and the benefits that the students gained from being a part of your class specifically?
I felt like I was a better employee to my employer, whoever I was working for at the time, when I was teaching, because I was making sure I was up on the current trends. I built my leadership skills, my communication skills, organization, et cetera. And I felt that I was also a great brand ambassador for whoever I was working for, because it offered the opportunity for students to learn more about my organization and then find opportunities like, hey, are there internships? Are there, you know, full-time jobs? How do I get an entry-level job at whatever company I was working for at the time? So that was the benefits I saw. For the students, like I mentioned earlier, it's really about understanding the real world, what's happening now in the marketplace is really what benefits the students. And look, I've taught a lot of different theories, right? From like Porter's five forces to whatever other things from the 1950s, right? They still hold true, but like, what does that actually mean? I think that's really important for students to have the context of like the stories that are happening out in the marketplace. With the courses I have taught, and again, because they're more concept-driven courses, making them fun. Like, I really tried hard to make them fun and not be what I remember as dreadful classes in my undergrad, where the professor comes in and they're just reading from a slide and they're just talking and it's just like hot air. I really try to make it a dialogue and, you know, really picking up on whatever is current going on, even in like whatever, I want to say like political, but again, with marketing, for example, you know, if the Super Bowl's on, let's talk about the ads that week. That's going to be our topic teaching a marketing class. So making it fun and enjoyable and really memorable for the students.
Okay, so moving into some of your more recent roles with companies such as Mach 49, Five Below, and Chop, you've been really involved in more high-level marketing and growth positions, which are all incredibly impressive. How were you able to break into these roles, and how have they challenged you as you've continued to progress with your career?
My most recent roles have been much shorter than the times that I had at Campbell Soup, Wawa, et cetera. I will say that to get into those types of high-level roles, I really spent time taking inventory of the skills I had, what I wanted to learn and grow, and I really wanted to be intentional on where I wanted to take my career. Now, what I will say is that through my network, I was able to identify those opportunities that I pursued, but the pandemic environment almost accelerated the opportunities.
Really?
So the idea is that with all the changes the pandemic had offered allowed me to try. So for example, when I made a switch from Aramark to Mach 49, which was a great organization that I met through my network. It was a consulting company that focused on creating new ventures for global 1000 organizations. And it was a great opportunity for me to learn how to be a consultant again, because remember, I'd started my career as a management consultant.
Right.
And I feel like I'm wired to be a consultant that has a marketing bend. I don't know what, but the idea was that I was able to try it out. Unfortunately, what they did was amazing. The how they did just didn't fit my lifestyle. And it also made me realize that, you know, work-life balance is important to me. I can't work these consultant-like hours when I have small children right. and a family to take care of. So again, my opportunities have been more quick because the pandemic has just opened my eyes to really what's important to me and also how I want to continue to build my career and what those right next skills should be for myself.
And so you mentioned that you've worked in both sort of the innovation and growth stages and also marketing. Are you able to go into the correlation between those two fields? Because I know to me personally, and maybe to some of the listeners, they might not seem super related.
Sure. Yeah. So the best way to describe the differences is that innovation is an iterative process initiated by the perception of a problem to solve that leads to development, production, marketing of an offering addressing the opportunity, right? So innovation is not just like the market research, but it's also like the invention, production, and everything that you need to get to market it. So marketing traditionally has been thought of as like a communications vehicle, right? Typically people think of marketing as just advertising, right? But marketing is very much more encompassing, where it is also like the advertising, the communications, the really business development piece. So both innovation and marketing almost overlap, and they both drive results, and they both have the opportunity to show creativity. And I think that innovation is needed to propel an organization forward. So not only just create a new venture, like you have a new business idea, a problem to solve, here's a new venture, but even like within an organization, there's so many different problems to solve. You do innovative things. And the way they all come to life is like through marketing. I will say that different organizations, depending on their industry or who they are, think of marketing differently. So for example, when I was at Campbell Soup Company, I worked in brand management. So I managed the brand. And how marketing is thought of is that I was almost the quarterback of the team. So if let's say I worked on the Chunky Soup brand, I was the person who was helping coordinate all the efforts from supply chain, finance, sales. I was the one helping orchestrate it. Oh, by the way, I was helping figuring out what's that right packaging redesign. So really helping orchestrate everything and really like as a general business manager mindset. Now, other organizations think of marketing as, again, more of a communications vehicle. Like what's the right advertising campaign? What's our right website to have? So marketing could be described differently at different organizations. I personally really resonated with that quarterback of the team because you're the one making all the plays. But more often than not, marketing traditionally falls into more of the camp of thinking of it more as like a communications department or area.
Got it.
So, and if I were to pick a side, because more often than not, marketing is thought of in that latter part, I like innovation because I feel like that innovation, a general business mindset of like a brand marketer is kind of where I sit, but not every organization thinks of marketing the same way.
Right.
Hopefully that clarifies for your audience.
Definitely. Yeah. It certainly clarifies for me. Yeah. Well, I must say you are certainly quite the accomplished individual. How does your professional experience tie into your contributions to the Entrepreneurship Advisory Council and the Rowan Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship as a whole?
So, like I mentioned earlier with my adjunct experiences, I feel that students benefit from gaining perspective, stories, advice from people who are active in the business world, like myself. So, as part of the EAC and the RCIE, I plan to share my professional experiences and network with not only students, but as I think about networking with the faculty and staff to really help grow the school and the programs.
Of course. I mean, clearly, your contributions and that of other members is making a significant impact. You know, we were just ranked number 40th in the nation for entrepreneurship programs. We've had multiple students winning competitions across the nation. And so all of these experiences and knowledge that you share are clearly, they're working. My final question is, if you could give one piece of advice to students and aspiring entrepreneurs, what would it be?
So I think this piece of advice goes for both not only entrepreneurs, but I think also just general career path. I think create a plan, but be flexible. So the idea is that, you know, throughout life, you'll run into hurdles and challenges, and it's often an entrepreneur's ability to pivot and shift with agility that makes the difference between success and failure. So again, that could go for creating a new venture, or it could be your career path as well. I will say the sub-bullet to that for one piece of advice is that always have an open mind, be curious, ask a lot of questions, and always think about how can I be learning, constantly learning and building skills.
That's excellent advice. I'll be sure to remember that in the coming years. And hopefully all of you listeners at home have really enjoyed this episode. I know this being my first episode here, I've had an amazing time. Ms. Musio, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope to see you here for the next episodes, and thank you. That's going to be it for episode 1 of season 4.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. Rowan is proud to be an official knowledge hub of the International Council for Small Business. Our AACSB award-winning entrepreneurship programs challenge students to solve real problems in bold and impactful ways. If you're interested in supporting entrepreneurship at Rowan, or want to get more involved by hiring an intern, speaking to a class, or being featured as a case study, contact us at rcie@rowan.edu.